Good morning, everyone. This is not official, but if you have the green slip for your favorite hymn, please get it into one of the baskets or bring it up here or something, because we're going to pull these out in just at the end of the announcements. Thanks. Grace and peace to you in the name and spirit of Christ. We offer to you a heartfelt welcome to our service, whether you are here in person or are watching on Facebook Live. I'm Lorraine Finneson, and I'm joined today by our pastoral intern, Rachel Garas, music director, Barb Fuller, pianist, David Priestap, and liturgist, Greta Delaney. And just a note, if you have the little green slip with your favorite hymn that you haven't turned in, get it to one of the collection places, either here or the front or the back. We'll grab those real quick. Pastor Mark and Deanne are in Richmond, Virginia for the wedding of his son Kyle, which I think was yesterday. They will be visiting Deanne's son Andy tomorrow or Tuesday. Andy was released from the hospital on Tuesday and is feeling well, but weak. He's not eating a whole lot yet. His taste is not there. So that's contributing to it. But he'll be fine, we hope. Okay, he'll be remaining in the area of the hospital for at least a month so that he has easy access to the hospital. There are important announcements and upcoming dates on the back of the bulletin. I'll highlight that next Sunday is a very special day at Mayflower. Not only will we be receiving at least 4 new members and having communion during the morning worship service, Marjorie Briggs, is Marjorie here?
No, she had a previous engagement.
Marjorie is not here, but that's Michael Judd, her whatever she is. You tell me. Anyway, Marjorie's going to be ordained at a very special service at 5 o'clock p.m., and there's a lunch, dinner after the service. Everyone is invited and encouraged to attend. This is a very important event in her life, and she would love to have everyone there. The invitation is included in your bulletin today, so there's all the details, but I want you to note that the dinner reservations need to be in by Wednesday, this week Wednesday. Here's a reminder, too, that next Sunday is also Pentecost Sunday, so be sure to wear red if you can. And now if we can get all the hymns collected.
No.
Are there any back there?
Yes.
Would you bring them up, please?
No.
I see one over there. Can you go grab? There's another one. The moment you've all been waiting for. There's one still over there, Bob. You want to grab it?
I see that.
All right.
Anybody that just came in hadn't filled it up yet?
Okay. Thank you all for doing that. I just thought that would be fun. Well, let's see which ones were picked. You guys going to just tossle those around and pick 4 out? We'll make sure they're all different. We don't want to sing the same hymn twice, you know. Make sure they're all different.
So far, so good. Yep.
All right.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. They're beautiful ones. Good choices, everybody.
Good choices, I hear. All right, this is very quickly. You don't have to memorize this. His eye is on the sparrow. Onward, Christian soldiers. I had not thought of that one. How great thou art. Ooh, I don't know this one. Thy word is a lamp. It's number 256, I guess. Well, we will announce those numbers a little bit later on as we come to that part of the hymn sing. So now, let us be in the spirit of worship.
Thank you, David. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Today we gather in the spirit of awe and anticipation. Our scripture tells of a moment when voices were lifted, trumpets sounded, cymbals rang, and the temple was filled, not just with music, but with the glory of God. While we may not have a cloud descend upon us, we trust that the same spirit is present here among us. In our singing, in our silence, in our listening, and in our love. As we come together, some of us joyful, some of us weary, some simply curious, we make space for the mystery and power of the divine to dwell in our midst. So bring your full self, lift your voice, open your heart, let us worship in wonder and gratitude. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of glory and grace, we gather this morning as your people, drawn together by the rhythm of music, the pull of the Spirit, and the quiet longing for something holy. As in the days of the temple, when voices rose in harmony and hearts turned toward heaven, we ask that your presence would fill this place, not with smoke or spectacle, but with deep and steady sense of your nearness. Tune our hearts to your melody. Let every note we sing and every silence we keep be an offering of praise. Inspire us, O God, not only to worship, but to become living instruments of your love, carrying harmony into a dissonant world, bringing peace where there is pain, and lifting up the voices of those too often silenced. We pray this in the name of the one who makes all things new, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Giving is another way we participate in the music of God's love. In the symphony of compassion, justice, and hope.
Whether you give today in the offering plate or through quiet acts of kindness, know that your gifts support the work of this church and the flourishing of God's kingdom here and beyond. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for every good gift, for voices to sing, hands to serve, and hearts to give. Bless these offerings that they may be used to bring light where there is darkness, music where there is silence, and hope where there is need. May they be instruments of your peace and love in the world. Amen. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Loving and holy God, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude. Thank you for this day, this glorious gift of life, light, and community. Thank you for the beauty of music, for the hymns that lift our spirits, for the melodies that speak when words fall short, and for the harmonies that draw us closer to one another and to you. We thank you for the freedom and opportunity to gather here in safety and love, to worship, to reflect, and to rejoice. May our singing today be more than sound. May it be prayer, praise, and presence. We also pause to lift up those named in our prayer list, and those whose needs are known only to you. Bring healing where there is pain, comfort where there is sorrow, strength where there is struggle, and hope where there is despair. We pray for our beloved community, our nation, and our world, for leaders entrusted with power, that they would govern with wisdom, compassion, and justice. In a time of division and uncertainty, may your spirit move among us, guiding us toward peace and understanding. And we pray for all who carry burdens today, for the lonely, the grieving, the anxious, the sick, for all who need to know that they are not alone. May we, your people, be agents of your care, your hands, your voice, your presence in this world. We all have people in our hearts who need your comfort, peace, guidance, and care. Please hear our prayers as we mention them by name at this time. Levi. Receive all these prayers, spoken and unspoken, as we offer them in the name of Jesus, the one who calls us to sing, serve, and to love. Let us join our hearts and voices now in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's reading comes from the second book of Chronicles, Chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. In just two verses, we witness a powerful moment. Musicians, priests, and people joining in unified praise, and the presence of God filling the temple like a cloud. Can you imagine what it would feel like for worship to be so full, so sincere, that the space itself seemed overwhelmed by the divine? Let's listen closely to this ancient scene and reflect on how our own music, unity, and openness might still make room for the Spirit to move among us. Hear now these words. It was the duty of the trumpeters and singers together to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to give you just a little encouragement here. Sometimes I think that hymn singing can be rather quiet. And we're not going to do that today. We're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I encourage you to sing with gusto, all right? And even if you don't know a piece, still sing it with gusto. And if you think that anybody's looking at you because you made a mistake, just look at the person next to you as if they're the one that made the mistake, okay? I can remember there are two times in my life in particular that I remember hearing a crowd really sing with gusto that I was a part of. And one was years ago back in the 80s when the NACCC annual meeting was at Plymouth when I was attending. And it was filled with pastors and delegates. And I'm telling you, I never heard such singing as I did coming from everybody. And it just filled that huge, huge vaulted ceiling, just everything. It was wonderful. And then the most recent time was just a few years ago when we had pastors here for the Central Association meeting. And I'm telling you, they will sing no matter what. And they just sing like their lives depend on it. So let's do that today, shall we? It'll be fun. It'll be lots of fun. Okay, for the first three hymns, Rachel is going to give us a little background, which I think is pretty neat. And because you can, it's always better if you understand exactly why you're singing what you're singing. So, Rachel?
Thank you, Barb, and thank you all for joining me on this crazy journey today, of a little bit different sorts. Our first hymn today for our hymn sing is Crown Him with Many Crowns. I would thought we would, which is number 58 in the hymnal, I thought we would start our hymn sing with a traditional Easter hymn since we are still in the season of Easter. This one is one of my favorites as a young girl. For me, the music is so strong and reflects Jesus' strength and triumph. The original author of this hymn, Matthew Bridges, saw this song as a sermon in six stanzas. However, Bridges had converted to Catholicism, so in 1874, Godfrey Thring rewrote the song to reflect Anglican doctrine. So there are actually 12 verses of this hymn, and hymnals across denominations will intermingle them. We will only sing verses 1 and 4 today.
You may stay seated for this. Thank you.
Our second hymn today is number 328, The Old Rugged Cross. My faith is very closely connected to my family, as you can probably tell since there's a whole pew of them today. My mother and her generation gave me a foundation through their words and actions that has made me the Christian that I am today. I wanted to honor my family by choosing some of their favorite hymns. Morning Has Broken, that we sang as our opening hymn, was my uncle's favorite. The Old Rugged Cross is my aunt's. As Arthur George Bernard was working his ministry through the Salvation Army, he prayed to have a deeper understanding of the cross. Through study and prayer, the words came to him over several months. When it was finally finished, he sang it for his friends, the Boswicks, who were so moved that they paid to have it published. Our next hymn today, In the Garden, number 205. In the Garden is my mother's favorite hymn. My faith is the greatest gift she has ever given me. And my mother is one of the most generous people I know. Singing these hymns makes me feel connected to my heritage. Author C. Austin Miles believed that the art of meditating on scripture involved using one's imagination. For this hymn, Miles was meditating on the first Easter when Mary was at the tomb and the Lord appeared.
Still.
Okay, it's your turn. So here's the ones that I have coming from the audience. Our first hymn, number 256, Thy Word is a Lamp. Yeah, I don't really have an intro. This doesn't come from me, so here we go.
You looked like you had more to say.
I thought about it.
That's what I was seeing. How many of you are familiar with this piece? Most of us know this piece, and me included, from, well, when Jerry and I were PF advisors, that youth advisors many years ago at Plymouth, we sang this at retreats. And so this is a good chance for you to learn if you don't know it. Okay? Dave, do you know this one? He does. He's going to give us a little intro. And there are only two verses. And
Winner.
So he's going to give us a, maybe, why don't you, Dave, play the verse for us. Play the verse, and then we'll come in on the refrain. We'll start with the refrain. Okay, so you start with the verse. That didn't hurt one bit, did it?
It did not.
It's a very nice
song. It is refrain. A nice song.
Yes.
I know it from Amy Grant.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. But I'm noticing too here, like, I don't know where this hymn came from, which one of you selected that hymn, but I'm noticing, like, music really does connect us. Like, we all have our personal stories connected to these hymns. And it's beautiful to just have a chance to share that. So thank you for sharing today. Our next hymn is number 449, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Hymns are very nostalgic for people, aren't they? If you grew up in the church, you might have some real favorites from when you were a child, and that goes very, very deep. And I know that Winnie Nicholas, who has passed away many years ago, was a longtime member here at Mayflower. She said that her mother played the organ. It was a pump organ in church. You can imagine it was many, many years ago. And this was her favorite. So I always think of Winnie and her mother when we sing this. So let's do verses 1 and 4.
Thank you.
please.
When she mentioned Winnie Nicholas, some of you knew her. She has one of these windows. I can't remember which one it is. But mentioning her mother, whose name was Fanny Parshall, which I don't know why sticks in my head. But her actual real favorite hymn was "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory." And those were her last words that she spoke. "Mine eyes have seen the glory." And she passed away. And I just always, that always touched me. So anyway, a little aside.
Yeah, thank you, Lorraine. Yes. Our next hymn, number 386, "His Eye Is on the Sparrow."
Now, I have to confess, and yet I'm not guilty, I want you to just know that right ahead of time, that Steve Gamazel asked me if this particular hymn was in the hymnal, and I helped him find it. But Steve, it was totally random that this got pulled out. So anyway. Several people chose this. Okay, "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." Let's do verses 1 and 3. Number 386. 386, "His Eye Is on the Sparrow."
This next one is a good one. Number 27, "How Great Thou Art."
Again, let's do verses 1 and 4. And I'm looking out and I'm seeing tears, and I hope those are tears of joy, because I hope it's not my singing. I get so carried away, you know, and I have a really good time singing, so I hope you are too. But these do bring back memories, special memories, don't they? Yeah, I think that's fun. Okay, verses 1 and 4, number 27, How Great Thou Art.
So I just need to add a little bit to that last one. As you know, I came from the St. John's Congregational Church a long time ago. When I was a teenager, that's where I was worshiping. And I remember Gene Livingston singing that song. Like, I don't have many memories from my teenage years, but I remember being so moved. And so it was great to sing that with you again today, Gene. Thank you.
I want to thank Dave for his wonderful piano playing. Yes.
Thank you, Dave.
Now you've given yourselves away. The gig is up. You can sing hymns with gusto. And our last hymn today is Here I Am, Lord.
I do have things to say.
You do have things
I
to
do
say
have things
about
to...
that?
I do.
That's right. Jerry and I are going back up into the choir loft while Rachel talks.
So I know that Bill sang this song for us last week, and it was beautiful. Thank you, Bill. But I was having a hard time not singing with him, and I saw some mouths in the crowd. So I know this one is a fan favorite, so I decided to leave it in here. Here I Am, Lord has been one of the most meaningful hymns in my life. This title comes from the words of Moses when he responds to the burning bush. Moses is my personal biblical hero. I am not God, I can never be Jesus, but Moses I get. When God calls Moses to rescue the Israelites from Egypt, his response is, "Who am I to lead your people?" When I have been called by God, my response is usually, "Are you sure? Who am I to do this thing?" Moses gives me a model of someone filled with self-doubt that did great things for the Lord anyway. He gives me hope to trust that God knows what he's doing when he calls me to action. Other biblical figures to use the phrase, "Here I am, Lord," include Samuel, Isaiah, and Ananias. Daniel Shute wrote this hymn for the ordination mass of a deacon in the Catholic Church based on Isaiah 6:8. "Here I am, Lord," that's number 541. Before I give the benediction, I just need to say thank you to Barb, my partner in crime here. Thank you so much for helping lead today. I want to thank Dave. He worked kind of overtime today, doing this extra thing for us. and of course Lorraine, who keeps all our stuff together. I was up here doing something and I came back and all the hymns are neatly printed, the choice ones and everything, and like a hymn fairy came and visited me. So thank you very much for us being able to do this together today. And thank you, audience, for your wonderful hymns that you suggested and for singing with gusto today. So now go in joy with a song in your heart and praise on your lips. May the God who fills the temple with glory fill your life with peace, purpose, and song. Amen. Fellowship today?
Yes.
We have fellowship today. All right, so we'll see you in the, what do we call that?
Friendship Center.
Friendship Center, thank you. See, I don't know what I'd do without them.